Okay, you know what's annoying? How MacBook Pros don't have USB ports anymore. What the frick is that all about? Like, it's a Pro. Why? Like, we still use USB ports, Apple. Like, most things that I have USBs. And I know that there's converters, but they also only put two little spots on the side for little conversion sticks or whatever they're called. How techie am I? Just a little rant. I'm trying. The reason why I bring this up, by the way, welcome to All In With Ali podcast. I'm so happy you're here. But the reason why I'm ranting and bringing this up is because in my podcast studio closet, I use a MacBook and like to record, and I have everything hooked up to it. And there's only two little ports, right? So I have my fancy camera hooked up to it, and then I have my mic hooked up, and I can hook nothing else up. But right now, the way that my camera is angled, because I still don't have my pretty neon sign behind me and it looks like trash, so I have it at this angle and the lighting's funky now. So I have this cool mini ring light that I could put at top of my computer or kind of like back behind my computer a bit in the corner that would like help fix the lighting situation, but it has a USB thinger on it and I have no more holes in my computer. So anyway, what are you going to do? Thanks a lot, Apple. Way to go. Just when you think you have it right. Anyway, I think I'm going to put a desktop in here eventually and I'll look soups legit. But even desktops don't have USB ports. Yeah, they do. They do have the USB ports. Okay, should we move on? Hi. Hope you're having an amazing day so far. I'm excited to give you a recap of 2022. I'm finally at a place where I can talk about it and reflect on it from a business perspective. I've already given you a rundown of where I've been when we kind of paused the podcast for a bit, like a more personal rundown of my winter, but this is going to be a revenue recap in addition to the lessons that I learned in 2022. 2022 was a badass year. I'm not going to lie. It was really, really good for me. It was good to me. It did take my mom and that kind of sucked, but I mean, what can I guess whatever. Anyway, but overall, besides that, you know, massive point of my life, everything else in 2022 was pretty good. And I'm thankful. So I'm going to give you a full ass recap of all of that. And, you know, lots of good came from it. But then also, like, toward the end, some major, major scarcity crept in. And I made a lot of moves that I don't think I would have made if I weren't operating from a place of lack. So we're going to talk about all of those lessons and what I will be doing differently this year moving forward, as far as I can see anyway. And I think this is going to be a really powerful conversation. Before I get to that, what's been going on in my world? I have been wrapped up a bit in these day in the life videos. I don't know if you've seen them. I don't know if you've seen mine yet. Go look at my Instagram and go look at my past couple reels. I have a bunch of like podcast reels, but then you'll notice like there's, as I record this, two day in the life reels that I recorded. And it's funny that I did these because lately I've been notorious for talking a lot of shit about reels. I hate reels. I got super, super, super into them when they first came out. And I was like doing the whole TikTok thing. And then I got super burnt out. And then I quit TikTok and I stopped doing reels. And I took a super long hiatus. And then, as luck would have it, I was early morning scrolling the other day with my coffee and I was actually on Facebook. And you know how Facebook will show you reels now? And I came across this chick what is her name? I want to give her a shout out because she's super cool. Hold on. Okay, so her name is Riley Jenkins. I don't know if any of you follow her. On Instagram, she's Riley N. Jenkins. I came across her on Facebook and she does these day in the life of like a work from home or a stay at home mom recaps. And she does them so well. I mean, super, super creative. So she starts like her thing is working out. She does like burn boot camp and she shows like leaving the house really early, going to get her workout in, stopping at Starbucks, getting her little girl up, getting her little girl dressed and ready for the day, her protein and her, you know, all of her like supplements and things like that. And then she'll show like a little bit more, but like that's kind of like the gist of it, right? Nothing groundbreaking or anything, but I was enthralled. I was like, this is so good. And I really appreciated the effort that she put into these videos because I wanted to see more. I was instantly hooked into particularly her videos and all of the camera angles that she was doing. And I mean, as somebody who like, I'm familiar with the creation of social media content, I instantly understood like, wow, she's putting a ton of effort into these. And I really respected her work, truly. So I watched a couple of them and next thing you know, I've got the bug. Next thing you know, I'm setting up my camera and I'm like, let's freaking go. I want to do one of these day in life. So I effed around and I made one day, the first day. And it's so much work. It's so much time. And no doubt, you know, just like anything, you kind of get the hang of it, you know, and it gets easier. But it was like that first day, it was my sole focus of the whole day. Besides a couple of work tasks, that's all I was able to like focus on and do to get it out by the end of the day. The second day was a little bit easier. But I had a lot of fun making them. And anyway, why I share this with you is because, wow, they got a ton of engagement. It sparked so many conversations and you loved them. Like most of you freaking loved them. And it kind of blew my mind a little bit, but not really though, because like if I like something and I get lit up about something, we're a lot alike in that way, right? So I shouldn't be that surprised. And I share this with you because if you like that type of content and if you get lit up by trying different types of content and filming like your days, give it a shot. Seriously, you might be surprised by the outcome. And I think what I like about it so much is this is me sharing more behind the scenes, which I told you is an intention of mine moving forward, particularly with this podcast, but I guess my content in general. And a lot of people said what I was kind of hoping to portray, like, yeah, my day is just like yours, right? Like I have help in place and I'm very transparent and clear. And that's like a big part of my message too. But like, we're all trying to eat our breakfast over kids playing and feed and keep our kids alive and, you know, work in a few minutes here and snacking on stuff and rocking 12-day-old hair. Maybe that's just me, you know, but like, anyway, I love the conversations that brought up. So if you like that kind of thing, give it a shot. If you don't give it a shot because it's not going to work for you. That's just like a rule of thumb there. So anyway, did that. If you can't tell, I've been wildly enjoying more of an open schedule. January moving forward, I mean, just my schedule is more clear and open than it has been since I can even remember. And it has given me so much life. And this is why I can indulge myself in creating all of the videos that I have been creating in the days in life and all of those. Actually, I kind of realized about myself, I love editing videos. I have a VA who does an amazing job, but like I actually really enjoy it. So there's that. Been enjoying that. I talked on stories about this next thing, this health thing one time, so this may be new to you, but I'm gonna talk about it here too, because I'm gonna talk more about it moving forward. So I wanted to give you a little health update. So my mom, she passed away of cancer, and she had what's called the BRCA gene. It's like BRAAC gene or BRACA gene or something like that. Anyway. And anyway, it's not a great gene. I'm going to butcher this, but basically if you have this gene one or gene two, you have a much higher increased risk of a pretty decent list of cancers. Okay. So my mom had this gene and she had the worst variation of it. I think she had one, I can't remember, but anyway, she had the one that was the worst. So I knew this about her, and one of her wishes that she made very clear was that me and my siblings go and get tested for this gene so that we can be proactive, which obviously I understand that. And as a mom, I obliged. Okay. So I actually booked an appointment with my mom's oncologist because I liked her. She was no BS. She was very to the point. So I booked an appointment with her to talk to her about this process. And she was very adamant. She was like, no, at your age, which I'm 35, we need to test you like now, because if you have the variation of the gene that your mom has, I suggest surgery. And I was like, whoa. And she's talking about like hysterectomy level surgery. Okay. Like no joke. And obviously, of course, like I would get second and third opinions, you know. But anyway, this is serious stuff. And I shared that on my stories because that day I got tested for the gene and I was feeling really funky about it because I realized I have a 50-50 shot. And if this comes back positive, this is going to have some very serious implications for a lot of things, you know? It's a heavy conversation. Well, anyway, I got a phone call that my results were back in, and I got the call on the way to the Gatlinburg trip, which I shared in the last episode. And I was like, I'm not calling them back because if this is bad news, like I'm not trying to deal with that right now. Anyway, they called again and they gave me the results over voicemail. So I couldn't help but to hear it. So great news. I'm negative for the gene. Praise God. Okay. This hasn't even really sunk in yet because they were like, but we found something else that we need to talk to you about. And she told me what it is. And I can't even remember the name. You might be like, what the hell? Why are you telling this if you don't remember the name? Because I'm going to go deeper into it. But anyway, I still need to book an appointment with them. And I looked into like what they said I did test for. And it's pretty common. And it's very confusing. But anyway, it's definitely not as serious as the BRCA gene. So I'm so, 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 so thankful for that. So I share this because I plan on talking more about this because this is serious, right? Like women and our health, we need to be on this stuff. Like nobody wants to go out like that. So we need to stay on top and be as proactive as possible. So because I'm doing that, and you know, that's our whole vibe here is sharing all the things and going all in, I will be sharing more of that. So when I have more information about all whatever the hell they found, I will be sharing it here. So a little update there. Last thing I'll share before we go into the recap, this is fun. This is not new, but this is the first year that I've ever done this and I'm really happy with it. And I wanted to inspire you to do the same thing. Have you ever made a desktop vision board? It's a vision board that goes on your desktop. I've never made one because I tried to make one last year and it was a big pain in the butt. And I was like, whatever, this looks stupid. And I just gave up. Well, I made one this year. Why? Because Canva has all of these incredible templates that make it so freaking easy. And mine is bomb. Okay. So Canva is one of my favorite tools to talk about all the time. If you've taken any of my programs, I talk about Canva, but go to Canva right now, go to the desktop, desktop wallpaper templates. They have all these templates and like sizing pre-made for you. They have one for desktop wallpaper. Go to that. And then they have all these templates that you can choose from just for desktop wallpapers. But if you search in the search bar, vision board, they have a bunch of different templates and they're stunning. And then you just insert your own pictures. Pro tip, go get your pictures first. I used a few of my own because on a vision board, you want to like see yourself in there. And I have like pictures of my family and, you know, the podcast and things like that. So I have a few of my own. And then I went and I found pictures on Pinterest. The pro tip is go get these pictures and then throw the same filter on them so that they look nice and cohesive on the board, and then create your board. So just a little fun aside before we get into the stuff. Wow, I've been talking for 15 minutes. Okay. Time flies. All right. So let's get into why you are here. The recap, 2022 revenue recap and lessons learned. So I wrapped up my 2022 with 1 million, just kidding. It wasn't a million. It was supposed to be, but it wasn't. But I'm very thankful and proud of what we did. And I wrapped up 2022 with $764,359 in revenue. Cue applause. Yay. It's pretty good, right? I'm very, very proud. Very proud. It wasn't my goal. I was going for the milli. I actually thought I had it in the bag, but then old mom had to kick the bucket on me. Next year, right? Next year. No, I'm really, really proud. That's something to be super proud of. Obviously, you know, 2021, we did 506,000. So that's a pretty jump from that. And it was a good freaking year. But like I said, I did not hit my goal. My goal was a million. Here's why my goal was a million. One, I saw like at the end of 2021, which if you haven't heard my revenue recap for 2021, go find it. I don't have the number in front of me, so you'll just have to kind of scroll. But I did it, I don't know, beginning of January last year. And the end of last year, I hit momentum like you wouldn't believe. We closed the year to over 200 grand more than I thought we were going to do, or 100. I can't remember now, but it really blew my mind of what I was capable for and how fast things can change with my type of business, which is online business. Right. And it was so cool to see. So I was like, damn, if I can do that in the last quarter of the year, shoot, hell yeah, we're going to go for a million in 2022. And so a couple of years ago, where did I hear this from? I mean, you hear this idea, like where you write a check to yourself. You hear it all over the place. Jim Carrey is famous for, I think it was on Oprah, where he shared that he wrote a $10 million check to himself and, you know, by like a future year, and was able to cash it because he did, what's the freaking movie? You know the movie, the funny one, Jim Carrey, LOL, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, and Dumb and Dumber. But anyway, he was able to cash his check. So like you hear people talk about this all the time, right? Like write a future check to yourself. So I did this, I think I did this in 2019. I wrote a $1 million check to myself and I taped it in my journal at the time. And the date was February 22nd, 2022. 2/22/22. Why? Because 2/22 is my lucky number. It's like a lucky family number. And the year 2022 was coming up. And I was like, surely by then we're going to hit the million. And again, like we were close, right? And the momentum that we were building toward the end of the year, freaking insane. But life, right? And I have so many reflections and lessons on this that we're going to get to. But it didn't happen, and it's okay. So overall, super freaking proud of my year. So I'm going to give you a super high level recap of all of the cool things that happened and the big things that happened in 2022, because it was a freaking year. Okay. Starting with January 11th, which is yesterday, as I record this, I'm recording this on January 12th, January 11th, 2022, last year, I found out I was pregnant with Rhett. So very exciting. Okay. Don't get triggered by this. Trigger warning, talking about pregnancy and a good one at that. I've been pregnant twice. I've had really, I'm very thankful and fortunate to have had really great pregnancies. No drama, no issues. And on top of that, I feel like a superhero pregnant. Like, and again, I realize all pregnancies can be very different, but the two that I've had were nearly identical. So once I got through the initial 8, 9, 10 weeks of morning sickness, after that, I like transform into Allie 5.0, like next freaking level energy, productivity, creativity, right up until I get super, super big. And then my sleep starts getting funky. And you know, this time around, I was getting like fire crotch pains because this baby was so heavy. And you know, other than that, I just feel amazing. So I had what I would consider a damn near perfect pregnancy with no complications up until, you know, I had him 2 weeks early because his heart rate was elevated, but that turned out to be, you know, nothing was wrong. So again, just so, so fortunate and thankful for that. But anyway, I found out I was pregnant 111. I officially joined Melanie's mastermind in, I can't remember if it was March or April. I want to say it was March. So I signed up in December 31st, 2021, but there wasn't going to be a spot open until March. So I think it was around March that I officially kicked off as a member of Melanie's Unity Mastermind. Right after getting over morning sickness and, you know, again, that first trimester funkiness, right after that all subsided, I went to the BVIs for the first time for Kelly Brock and Brittany Turner's Conscious Leader Retreat, which changed my life. I think they're gearing up for another one. So if you're not following Kelly Brock, go follow Kelly Brock and go message her and ask her about her next BVI retreat, because you want to be there. I'm telling you, it changed so much for me. I wish I could do the one coming up here soon, but it's just schedule-wise and little baby, it's just not going to work. So anyway, the BVIs that was like such a catalyst for me. Right after that, I had my very first paid speaking engagement in Tampa, Florida for No Shame Sales Games Unconventional Convention, which was great. Colleen Nichols hosts that, and that was super fun. Over 2022, I launched 10 brand new programs that are here to stay. So programs that like you can go and buy right now and that will be relaunching live on occasion. So I'm very proud of that. In addition to, I created countless of limited time offers like intensives and microminds and, you know, other masterminds and, you know, relaunched Vibes and what else did we relaunch? We relaunched something else. I can't remember, but tons of programs. Okay. Like I said, I mean, I just, my energy level was through the roof. I mean, by late spring into summer, I was unstoppable. I was just like cranking things out. It was incredible. We hit over 1 million downloads for the podcast over the summer, which was super exciting. I hosted my second mastermind retreat, this time at Miraval Austin, and we had a blast. I had, just on a personal note, I had my office, my master bedroom, the new nursery, and Cruz's room designed by one of my best friends, is a super talented interior designer, Maria Murphy. So we did that. While all this was happening, I was very pregnant. It was a lot, but it was a really good time. I experienced my first six-figure month in, when was that? Was that July? Yes. Hit my first six-figure month, $120,000, over $120,000 in July, followed by a $94,000 month in August. Now, if some of you might remember this, I posted this in my stories that I actually thought I was like 200, I can't remember how many hundreds. It was like a couple hundred dollars short of 100K in August. And I asked my stories. I said, if you made like $99,700, would you count that as a six-figure month? Because I thought, like, I was doing the math and I thought that that's how close we got. Because, okay, this is weird about PayPal. I use PayPal for all of my business transactions. And at the end of the month, I don't know why, but like for some reason, it takes a couple days for it to get you that final count of your revenue, especially if a lot of money came in the last couple days. It takes a couple days for it to tell you like the final amount. So it was like, you know, September 1st. And I'm like, what are my numbers for August? So I like went through and added everything up. And I thought that I was a couple of hundred dollars off. Turns out, I don't know how this happens, but I was actually $6,000 off, which was still really, really good. But I just want to be super transparent about that. So 120K in July, 94K in August, which was freaking killer. I celebrated those super high months by taking me and my mom on what would be our last trip together to Dallas at the end of August to get our Cartier love bracelets. That was such a special moment. I talk about that in episode 175, I think. We took family trips, including a baby moon to Sea Island, Georgia, which was fantastic and very preppy, and our infamous Gatlinburg New Year's Eve trip, which I recapped in episode 177. I'm super proud of this. Through all of that craziness, I maintained working out regularly all throughout my pregnancy, never missing a week. I didn't miss a week my whole pregnancy last year. Up until the day before I went into labor, I worked out. I didn't know that was a goal of mine. I was like, I'm going to see how far I can go. Just maintaining, not crazy workouts, but just like regular movement, straight, you know, healthy strength training workouts with my trainer, Allie, and did not miss 1 week. I'm very, very proud of that. By the way, that was a massive game changer. I did not do that with Cruz. I didn't work out basically at all while I was pregnant with him. And man, did I see a massive difference, not only in the labor, I was actually a little disappointed in that. I was like, man, this is going to be the shortest labor. I'm going to push for like 2 minutes. I was wrong. I pushed for 2 hours, just like Cruz. But other than that, like after I gave birth, like, you know, not that I care about the quote bounce back, but we bounced back really freaking fast. And I know it was because, and I was able to get back to working out really, really fast. Like I felt amazing. Not because I care about how I look or anything like that, but I was excited to get back into it way sooner than I had anticipated. And I know that it was because I maintained that steady movement. One of the lessons I'm going to share with you is I've realized like when I'm in motion, I stay in motion, not only physically regarding workouts, but also business-wise too. So we'll talk more about that in a second. Okay. I had Rhett 2 weeks early, which we've already talked about. That was September 10th. A month later, I lost my mom at the end of my maternity leave in the beginning of October or mid-October. So after that, you know, like my year from January to September, it was just like, I mean, I was cranking up. The momentum was just building, building, building. It was so fun. It was so good. I was just like on fire. And then it all just came to this screeching halt, which of course it did, right? Like, I'm not saying that as a bad thing by any means, but of course in my mind, I had this image that I would take time off and then get right back to it and be able to pick up that momentum. And it simply didn't happen that way. Those were not the cards that I was dealt. And in hindsight, the way that it happened, you know, I'm not happy with the way it happened because obviously I'm not happy that I lost my mom, but like the loss of momentum and things like that, that's life. And I'm able to extract some serious lessons from that because it showed me a lot, because we don't know when life is going to deal us a card that we're not planning, obviously, right? Like, duh. And I'm getting ahead of myself with the lessons here, but it just showed me like, you know, if I'm the one who's in charge of this momentum, if my results require me being on, like fully on and feeling good, if that's the only indicator of my like high level results, we have a problem. My business is way too immature then if that's the case. So anyway, I was operating from a very naive, unsafe business place, and we're going to be making some big changes in 2023. So lost my mom. I ended up wrapping up the year once I got back into business. I had an insane schedule. I had to pause the recording because you know when you get a phone call from a family member and you just let it go to voicemail and then they call you again right after, you're like, oh God, what now? In my world, in my family, this is never a good thing. So I'm glad I took that call because just had to talk somebody off a freaking ledge. Let me tell you what, if my family doesn't chill the F out, I'm going to put myself in a loony bin. Like, I need everybody to calm down. So anyway, crisis averted, I hope. Let's move on. What was I talking about? I was talking about how I wrapped up the year with an insanely full schedule. Why? Because your girl, I succumbed to a bit of scarcity. Yeah, I succumbed and was a victim of a little bit of a lack mindset, right? And it makes sense. I'm giving myself some grace because prior to having Rhett, I was having insane results. You know, I was at the peak of my career so far, and then it came to a screeching halt, and I wanted to wrap up the year. I wanted to bring it back, right? I wanted to finish the year as strong as possible. And I was trying a little too hard, I think. And what I've realized about myself is I realized that I definitely can put my energy, not my energy. I have a stronger belief in my ability to sell my time. I have a stronger belief and more confidence in selling my private one-to-one time. I know the value of that, right? Like I know, and I believe that you also understand, like if you and I were to work together one-to-one in any capacity, we're going to make some big moves, right? Like you're going to see some amazing results. So I feel very confident in selling intensives and private coaching packages and not so much master. I mean, I love masterminds, but what I sold at the end of the year was a lot of my one-on-one time. I did this thing in September. I was like, this should be fun because it was my birthday in September. I had a baby in September. It was Chris and I's anniversary in September. September is a fun month for us. So I was like, let's do something fun in September. And I came up with this idea to do, I was going to do like a special each day in September until I had the baby. Okay. And it was actually a lot of fun, but then I ended up having Rhett early. So once I got done, it was like, yeah, I waited a little bit and I just started posting a few of the offers again. And the offers ended up being mostly intensives. And then I sold something called Elite 8, which by the way, Elite 8 ended up being absolutely incredible. So Elite 8, it was just for 8 women and it was 8 weeks of private mentorship. And I had very specific topics that we talk about each week. And it was a training plus a one-on-one every week. So I had sold Elite 8. And on top of that, in September, I had also sold like all of these intensives. And then maternity leave happened and my mom happened. So by the time I came back from maternity leave, we had essentially, let's see, October, November, just 2 months to fit 8. Well, no, it was five or six people were in Elite 8. So there's 6 calls a week right there in addition to all these intensives. When I tell you my schedule was booked, I mean, like every day I had no less than 2 calls, upwards of 4 or 5 calls. It was insane. Like this was like beginner level mistakes that I made with my schedule. It's a big no-no. Like anybody who truly values her time and understands and knows at the level that I know how to create programs, I messed up. Okay. You know, and again, I didn't foresee like the amount of time, you know, there were some things that I didn't foresee, but also I oversold my time and I am honest enough to admit it's because I had dipped into some lack and this was the only way that I thought that I'd be able to like build up momentum again. But that's very counterintuitive. I don't know what, maybe I just had a brain spasm. I don't know. Because when you're that booked and busy, you can't do anything else, right? Like it affected my ability to create more offers and affected my ability to create literally anything else because I was so busy and I was so stressed and I was so tired and I was a brand new mom. And but anyway, I am happy to report that all craziness aside, we wrapped up the year strong. I'm very proud of how I delivered Elite 8. I'm very proud of how I delivered and wrapped up all of the last calls that I did. I understood and I made peace with the fact of what I had done. And I knew that this was just, it was a very busy season and there was light at the end of the tunnel. I was working my way to Christmas and then it was going to be Christmas break and New Year's Eve and Gatlinburg. And then my schedule opened up. So that is ultimately what got me through, understanding that it was only going to be for a month, month and a half tops. All right. So we did that. By the end of the year, I relaunched a brand new mastermind, Muse the Mastermind, which is next level. I keep saying next level. That's like I need to come up with another adjective, but that's my favorite one, by the way, or apparently. So Muse the Mastermind is launched. We have an incredible group of women who are in there right now. And then we also relaunched and rebranded the podcast from Six Figure Influencer to All In with Allie. That, my friends, is how I saw 2023 through and wrapped up 2022. Lots and lots of highs, a few lows, and a lot of lessons. So here are the lessons that I learned. Lesson number 1, there are seasons to productivity. This is obvious, but I think I just got a little addicted to the production that was happening in the spring and summer and early fall of last year. That was so fun. I was like on a freaking freight train. I mean, we were freaking going, oh, wait, back up. Another thing, I cannot not mention this. Huge accomplishment for 2022. I wrapped up my first full year with a full-time employee, Sarah. My girl, Sarah Jo, my angel, my ninja, my right-hand woman. Ugh. I'm so proud of that. At the end of 2021, I went through my first hiring phase in my business where I interviewed a ton of people and, long story short, hired Sarah. We moved really freaking fast. We onboarded her. We started her as part-time. We shifted her to full-time and employee status by, I think, March. And we just completed a full year together. And she's not running for the hills, guys. I think that's the thing that I'm most proud about. Like, we're still in this together. And I'm so freaking proud. And I'm proud of myself because I've never had an employee before. And if you had told me that I was going to hire an employee, I'd be like, how do you do that? I don't know what to do, but we figured it out. We worked out the kinks. We're still working out kinks. It's certainly not perfect, but it's awful. It's also not awful. So that's a win. So anyway, I just had to mention that. I'm so proud of that. Well, listen, like things can move so fast. Like, so there are so many firsts in this past year that, again, in 2021, if you had been like, hey, do you know that you're going to hire a full-time employee? Do you feel prepared for that? I'd be like, hell no. Do you know that you're going to sign up for the highest level mastermind you've ever been in? You're going to be the smallest business in the mastermind. It's going to cost you over $15,000 a month. You're going to pay it every single month for a year. Are you ready to do that? I'd be like, hell no. But I did it. I did it, you know? And I want to share, and I said this, I think it was in the last podcast episode. It's not the qualifiers that made me qualified to do anything that I did. It was the decision to do it that made me qualified. It was the decision that I was going to bring on somebody full-time that made me qualified to make it happen. It was the decision to sign up for this mastermind before I was ready that made me the type of person that could handle it, right? It was for all of these things, it was a decision. I made a decision. Hey, I'm ready to make my six-figure month. Now, listen, I made that decision many times prior and it didn't happen. But there was a point in time where I declared, and I declared it on this podcast, I'm going to make six figures this month. It's going to happen. I hustled my dick off to get there. But we made it happen. We made it happen. So anyway, it's really cool to look back in hindsight at how so many firsts and how you can blow your mind when you just step up to the plate and attempt to knock it out of the park. Sometimes you knock it out of the park, right? When you swing, you're not going to hit every time, but sometimes you're going to crack that sucker at the perfect angle and you're going to blow your freaking mind. And I had a lot of those moments in 2022. So back to the lessons learned, okay? There are seasons to productivity. So what I've learned is that when I'm feeling really good, yeah, I can be really productive. But when I bring a human into the world and I'm a brand new mom again, and I lose a parent, that doesn't really make for a season of productivity, you know? Like, duh. And also, duh. So learned that. I'm learning. Yeah, learning that. Okay, move on to the next one and then I'll circle back to the scarcity piece. Second lesson, and I kind of already mentioned this, but an alley in motion stays in motion, okay? Now, I think that this is true for all of us. I really, really do. And I see this mostly for myself when it comes to my health and my wellness and also my business as well. Of course, taking into account the season of life, right? But what I've noticed about myself is when I'm going, when I'm on, if I can maintain that, right? If I can keep myself consistent with the actions that I know are going to produce results for me, like all of the things that I covered in last week's episode, right? In last week's episode, I shared my money-making activities. If I can essentially stay consistent with those and focused on those, we're good, right? We're going to maintain a level of momentum. And it's just a lot easier, right? It's a lot easier to maintain momentum than to start momentum. So in business, if you can stay in motion with doing these things and hold yourself accountable to continue to do them on a consistent basis, eventually it just becomes habit. You can put systems into place. You can delegate. You can do all these things. And then you start seeing those results versus this stop and go, stop and go, stop and go energy. You know, again, same thing with our health and our wellness for relationships. I'm sure this could be true across many different areas of life. So that was a big lesson for me. And then, you know, in addition to the season piece, of course, sometimes you just need to sit your ass down and chill and heal and be a human. Okay. Another lesson, this is a scarcity piece. I realize about myself that when I am worried about not maintaining a certain level of results, I have a tendency to sell all of my time away, which I will not be doing again, because the biggest lesson of all of this is time is everything. It's the only thing that we cannot get back. We can make more money. We can make more of everything else. We cannot make more time. And with our types of businesses, if you have a business similar to mine where you are in control of the type of offers that you put out into the world, then you can control the amount of time that you're selling of yourself, right? You can scale and put out scaled offers. So I realize this, I understand this, and it was kind of like this sick, twisted thing for me last winter when I was so busy and I was so mad at myself because I should have been grieving, I should have been relaxing, and let's be honest too, it really was such a gift to be so busy, because instead of wallowing and feeling bad for myself, which there's a time and place for that, no doubt, I was doing what I love. I was working with incredible women. And I'm certainly not saying I regret that and that it was a bad thing, because I think it was, in a way, it was also what I needed in that season too. But if I could go back and do it different, I would do like half of what I did probably. So yeah, time over everything. Definitely, definitely could have made a lot more scaled offers instead of what I did. Which moves me into what I will be doing differently in 2023. More scaled offers, okay? Way, way, way less private mentorship opportunities. Now, here's the thing. I love private mentorship. I love working close with you. You light me up. You inspire me. It makes me feel excited to work some of my fit. And I know that this is why, like, it came from such a good place last year when I sold so many intensives and when I sold Elite 8 when I did, because I was freaking excited about it. It wasn't just about the money. I was lit. And this is why I know that they sold the way that they did, because I was genuinely lit the frick up about working so close to the women that I ended up getting to work with. And I'm so thankful for that opportunity. So this is why I will not be taking private mentorship or one-on-ones completely off the table, because there are plenty of ways to run a successful business with no private mentorship at all. And many people do that, many, but I don't want to do that. I love working closely with many of you. I'm just going to be doing it a little less this year. Right? I want to lean more into and be able to spend more time with my family. I have a new baby, right? And And I have other ideas on the horizon too that I want to be able to devote an adequate amount of time and energy to. So I will still be doing some private stuff, but just a little bit less. I'm going to be focusing more on the podcast this year. If you couldn't tell, I'm so fired up about the podcast. I see so many possibilities. I have a vision of doing some in-person interviews, which I'm going to be looking into. They have some cool spots in Nashville that you can rent out. And I'm going to be looking into that. I have some visions of possibly opening up my own thing, which is definitely a premature share, but why not? That was a recent download that I got that seems very intriguing that I'm at least going to start looking into, because I think that could be really cool, like to have my own podcast space that I could also potentially rent out. I don't know. We're going to see, but I'm feeling into that. But, you know, like I already said, more scaled offers. I'm going to maintain the momentum of programs that I did last year. My goal is a program a month, if not more, on average. So some months I might put out two or three. Some months I may not put out anything, but on average, a new program for you a month to add into the membership. So if you enjoy my programs, get into the membership, because the more programs we add into it, the more that price is going to increase, because obviously that will make sense. So check out the all-in membership. If you like my offers, that's linked in the show notes. And definitely more revenue streams, because the big, big, big takeaway from last year is, yeah, I'm capable of creating insane, beautiful results in my business, but they are heavy, heavy, reliant on me. It's all reliant on me, right? If I'm not performing, I'm not making money. So when I'm unable to perform because of anything happening behind the scenes, my business ceases to make money. This is a problem. That's a big, big problem. And this came to a huge head at the end of last year. And it was a big eye-opener for me. And I knew this, but you know, it's all fun and games while your family is well and while things are normal. But life happens. And if you haven't prepared your business to be able to sustain when life comes crashing down sometimes, you have a problem. And I had a problem and I still have a problem. So my big goal for 2023 is getting my business to a level that it can function for a time without me if it ever needs to or if I ever desire for it to. Scaling is the name of the game in 2023. So that's what I will be focusing on in the new year, which means that you are going to be hearing a lot of that type of content and, per usual, what I'm doing and lessons that I'm learning along the way in this podcast, in my content. And if you want really close proximity into this world, you can hop into the mastermind, because that is going to be my main way that I offer high-level private mentorship, is through the mastermind. I might be doing intensives here and there, maybe a couple of shorter term microminds. Definitely do some of those in 2023. But my main place I'll be pouring most of my energy into is the Muse Mastermind. So if you're ever interested in that, you can hit me up. It is a high-level mastermind for women who are desiring to make multi six to seven figures in their business. And we have a hell of a group in there. So if you're ever interested, you can hit me up, because those are my girls. I'm so proud of that group. But anyway, I don't think I missed anything. I think that's really the gist. But if you ever have any questions about this or ever want me to go deeper into any of these things, you can always hit me up on Instagram and I can do another episode, or I respond to questions all the time there. So hit me up on the gram, but I'm going to shut it down for the day and go spend time with my sweet boys. But I hope you enjoyed this. If so, share it on Instagram. Give us a review on iTunes. But I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. And I will see you here next week. Bye.